Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 68 of CJ Evolution. I am very excited for my next guest. His name is Alan Vaisberg. He is a connection, relationship expert. He's a motivational speaker and a successful author. And I am so excited for him tonight to be on. And us in law enforcement and criminal justice, I'm sure we have family or friends that have struggled with relationships because of the job. It is a very taxing job. I know I'm speaking to the choir, but we're all working various shifts, most of us, and it can be very, very hard on a relationship. And that's why I wanted to bring on Alan. And Alan, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. And thank you so much, Patrick, for bringing me on.
Can you tell us a little bit more about you and how you became, you know, a successful author and a motivational speaker? A little bit of background about yourself, sir.
Thank you. I am an immigrant. I came here at the age of 14 with my parents from the former Soviet Union. They came because they wanted a better life for me, and I've tried my best to prove them wrong, and as I've been making different life choices, but all of them gave me quite a rounding. So after trying many different careers, I really got back to the basics, and at my core, I really want to help people, and that's where writing. I've been writing, you know, poetry and stories ever since I could write. So it was always a part of who I was. I just started extending it into books as opposed to short stories and articles. And speaking is something that's also natural because I'm a natural storyteller. I love coming up with different ways to get through to people and to inspire them to make a change in their life. So speaking was a natural continuation of that story. Otherwise, I have a family with two kids, a wife who is in a very high stress, high hours job, not in law enforcement or criminal justice, but she's on the finance side. Mm-hmm. She runs a company, so hours are ridiculous. So there are many, many, many similarities in terms of the relationships and stresses that go along with that, plus my real job that I do that pays the bills, which I am in the information technology field.
Now, you left. What's interesting about you, Alan, is, correct me if I'm wrong, sir, is you quit a very lucrative business at one point, correct?
To live
out your dream, which is what we all should aspire to do, correct? Or maybe not quit our jobs. We all need to pay the bills, but we should go after our dreams, correct?
Yes, and that's the important factor. Let's make sure that we place that very profoundly in the front of the conversation. I do not recommend for people to quit their jobs.
Exactly.
I recommend for people to be true to who they are and find things that align with who they are and then make a career out of that if you can. And if you cannot, then make sure that every day on top of your career you do something that aligns with who you are. Then being happier and translating that into our topic of relationships. When you're happy with yourself, you're going to be a lot happier with your partner and a lot more willing and open to your relationships other than just stewing in your own pod thinking that you're very unhappy with your choices and that spills over everywhere.
And I'm preaching to the choir, Alan, and I'm sure you know, as do I, that a lot of people out there are unhappy in their jobs. I mean, most people aren't happy with what they're doing. Is that correct?
That's correct, and that's one of the reasons why I wrote this book. You know, the book that you invited me to talk about, a third of it is really dealing with that aspect. It's people being very unhappy with their jobs. You know, my clients are waking up in the morning. Well, that's a deterrent to me asking for clients. Before they come to me, you know, my clients would say during the interview that they hate waking up in the morning because they know that they have to go to work and they don't enjoy it. So working with them to make sure they understand what is actually happening and how they can change that around is what I do. So a third of that book really deals with that, of how do you love your day? Quite literally, people forget about these things and people focus on you know, loving others, or they're are really focused on trying to find something that makes them happy, and they forget about the main part of their existence, which is we all do something for the waking hours. And if you hate that part of it, everything else is not going to work for you.
It's interesting. And you make a really good point, you know, because I know very successful police officers in the, mm-hmm. in the profession I'm in, but they are excellent officers, but their personal life is a wreck. Not all of them, but yeah. but a lot of them is that they're very high caliber professionals. But when you look at their personal life, they've been on three or four divorces.
Right.
And so it's you have to have that balance, correct?
It is. And it's there are many aspects, you know, psychological and sociological that come into that, because and again, obviously, I'm an outsider. I have mm-hmm. never worked in law enforcement. I was pre-law. So I guess that qualifies me to do nothing in terms of this conversation. Mm-hmm. But when you are in law enforcement, there are certain things that go into it. And of course, I'm judging that based on my thorough knowledge of different police shows that I've watched.
yeah.
But in terms of, you know, in all seriousness, you are taught certain skills. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing police work, obviously there are different parts to it, but you learn to read people. You learn to look for certain clues. You learn to understand situations, to be aware of your surroundings. You are trying to be in control. And when you take that and you try to be in control of your relationships, when you are guarded, when you don't let your guard down, all of these things are detrimental to your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And for somebody who wants to control or be in control, you're not allowing the vulnerability. You're focused more on yourself. And if you're trying to read your partner, nobody really wants to be read.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be judged or looked at or you know, put under a microscope. So these traits that make you a successful police officer may be actually detrimental to you being a healthy, you know, husband.
Interesting. Now, the book, The New Love Triangle, Your Practical Guide to a Love-Filled Life, what drove you to write the book? I think you got into a little bit up there. What was the catalyst for you, Alan?
It's a couple of things. Obviously, there's no one aspect. I created a while before I created a holistic wellness program that's called the Seamless Method, which actually is eight, you know, it's an acronym for the eight things that we all should be doing on a daily basis. And one of those is love. That's the L within the word seamless. And I knew as I was creating that program that the love aspect actually is its own program and its own book. And I knew that I was going to be writing it. And in teaching the program, I have been teaching the three types of love that this book covers. And then one of my good friends started writing her book, and seeing her go through that process, it kind of pushed me a little bit over over that line mm-hmm. of talking about writing the book and actually writing it. And then finally, I think is just there's a wonderful, you know, series of relationship books by Gary Chapman. One of these books is one of my favorites is The Five Love Languages. And as I was reading that book, I couldn't help but notice that there is a sixth one, or even really the first one, that he doesn't talk about. And I really wanted to talk about it, because without it, all the other five don't work. And that's a part of my book, and that's the first part of the book. So now we've successfully told people the first part of the book, the third part of the book. We just haven't mentioned the second.
Now, what you say you're a recalibration expert. I think I know what that means, but can you give us can you explain that?
It's an alignment. It's a psychological, energetic, physical, and emotional alignment with who you truly are. So a recalibration is a mini level topic, but at its simplest core, it's you being happy, you knowing who you are, why you're here, and actually doing what you're here to do.
But what happens, Alan, and I'm sure you've run into this,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people out there, you know, whether you're in law enforcement or whatever profession you're in, there's a lot of people out there that are unsure of why they're here and what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, how do you get into that mindset of really thinking about, like you said, recalibrating your thought process?
Well, so I'll challenge you on this for a little bit, and this is the coach in me that starts to talk, so I apologize. But I think all of us intrinsically know what we are here to do and what we actually are about. We just have it covered up very well, or we don't want to listen to that voice that actually tells us who we are, because we know. And as I start working with people who say, I have no idea what am I doing, or you know, what I'm supposed to be doing, I don't know what profession I should be in, and then we start kind of peeling the onion, it's them who tells me at some point very clearly, this is what I'm here to do. And we do that through a series of exercises, through conversations, through introspection on their end. But I think all of us really do know. It's just for a lot of us, we've been conditioned that what we want to do and what our heart desires for us to do is not going to make any money. Or people are telling us it's stupid and you'll never be successful at it. Or the chances of you actually doing it are so remote that you should just forget it and do something else. Mm-hmm. And we've grown up with that left brain attitude, and we kind of stuffed our inner understanding really, really way down. So what I do is I uncover that and allow you to get to the point where you realize yourself, hey, I know why I'm here. And then the question is, how do I get from that into actually doing it?
And that's excellent. And I've talked about this before, and I know you know this, Alan. It's so much about what you're talking about is about who you surround yourself with. Because if you have those people in your life that are constantly saying you can't do it, and unfortunately for a lot of us, a lot of those are relatives, right? I mean, if you and you can't do anything about relatives, but you know, maybe you can take them in small doses. But if they're definitely friends or acquaintances that are constantly telling you you can't do something, that's going to rub off on you. So I guess my point in that is sometimes we have to make hard choices about who we're surrounding ourselves with, correct?
We do, yeah. And it's actually interesting because I've, you know, I teach this, I live this, and then I have a conversation with my 12-year-old daughter who decided very bravely that one of her oldest friends that she's been friends with since they were, you know, 3 years old, she decided that she's not going to be friends with that person anymore because that person is very judgmental, and that person kind of is pushy. And as much as they're friends, she said, I don't want to have this in my life. I want to be around people who are open-minded, who are not pushing their agenda on me. And I'm conflicted because I've seen them grow up together, and I've seen them being friends, and I've seen all of that history. And then all of a sudden, my daughter decides that she's not going to do this anymore. Right. So I understand why she's doing it, and yet I'm conflicted. So we all go through it.
Sure.
But yes, it is a tough choice, and you have to stand up for yourself, and you have to have your boundaries, because it's like a very, very simple example. If somebody calls you stupid, and it's one person that says that, you brush it off. But if everybody keeps calling you stupid, at some point, it's going to start really sinking in, and you have to decide whether you are or not, or what's going on. So it's surrounding yourself with people who are uplifting you, who are showing you through their own example that they can actually live the life that they want to live, and it's possible and it's doable, and they give you ways to do it even better. Mm-hmm. Then you all of a sudden find the power within yourself, and you change your perspective. And that's, by the way, is where recalibration comes in.
Mm-hmm. That's actually, you know, and I talk about this on my podcast, Alan, about how in law enforcement, you don't have to be in the profession to know that we are subjected to a lot of negativity.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, you know, human, you know, trauma and just things that nobody should see. And sometimes that negativity takes control of us. And I always talk about having balance in you know, our lives as law enforcement officers and criminal justice professionals, having other outlets besides just the job, because you have to have, like you said, those people in your life. Not that everybody in law enforcement is negative. I'm just saying that it can turn you to negativity, and it's so important to have a balance, you know, when you get off duty, to have those positive influences in your life. And I talk about this, and I think that's great that you're saying the same thing, because we are almost conditioned in law enforcement to,
yes,
everybody's a criminal, you know, everybody's, you know, trying to get one over on you. And it's not like that, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I completely agree with what you're saying, and I'll relate to an aspect that I've experienced just on my own. You know, I've mentioned that I love these shows, and I actually stopped watching Scandal, and I stopped watching House of Cards, because I started being conditioned to a certain reality. I started being conditioned. Anytime the car is driving, I'm expecting it to blow up or somebody to hit it. You know, I'm expecting the people to be the worst versions of themselves, and that's not the reality that I want to live in. Mm-hmm. For law enforcement, you are a part of that reality, unfortunately, because you've taken that burden upon yourself to help us not to deal with it. So it becomes even more paramount once you step out of uniform to put yourself in a different surroundings, not to continue talking about a job or bring that job to home and use your spouse as a sounding board to talk about your sorrow or things that you've experienced, because you're continuing to live in that reality. Mm-hmm. You want to jump out of it, and you want to have mutual shared experiences that are different from your work reality. And we really need to not just compartmentalize, but we need to split those up and know that this is work and this is me. And actors and different people who are kind of wearing different hats in their lives have to be very careful about making sure that they take a certain hat off and put a different one on. In law enforcement, I think it has to be a part of the trade.
Well, and like you said before, it's a matter of mind shift. It's a matter of recalibration. Mm-hmm. We have to want that. We have to want that in our lives, you know, that positivity and that mind shift. Now, we talked a little bit about at the beginning of the show, Alan, and I mentioned, you know, kind of the job and how taxing it is on relationships. And we were hitting on it a little bit. How do you think law enforcement can, you know, better handle the stressors of work to mitigate, you know, certain things from impacting their home life? I know that might be a lot to throw at you, but some tips.
Absolutely. So I don't know if I'm speaking to the right audience, so I'm going to give different ways of looking at it, and whatever works for you, please use that. Mm-hmm. And if none of it works for you, use something else, but please do something. So one of the tips that I would do for those people who are spiritual, I think law enforcement actually is quite open to it from the spirituality perspective, is really embrace the bubble around you. And embrace the bubble around you, not just from the protective perspective of somebody looking over you and your, you know, protective forces that you believe in, whether it's God or angels or whoever. Mm-hmm. But really from this is me inside and the world outside is not me inside. And when you come home and when you are out of uniform, you can put that bubble in the corner and you can go out and be yourself again. So it's really kind of creating a little bit of a block and creating a little bit of separation, mm-hmm. where you're still being a very active participant in that reality, knowing full well that that's not who you are and not allowing it to fully influence you. Mm-hmm. So from the energetic perspective, if you want to use it that way, you can. From the purely psychological perspective, don't bring your work home. Of course, it is so much easier said than actually practiced. Yeah. But if you want to talk about work, talk with a counselor. If you need to get something off your chest, try to do that in a proper setting, because as you continue bringing work home to your spouse, as much as they want to support you, you're going to continue reliving and reprocessing, and you won't get a chance for yourself to actually get out of that mode. So do your best to leave your work at work. And mm-hmm. when you come home, focus on something else. I remember watching a movie and I'm not sure if you've seen it, Patrick, but it's a movie whose name, of course, I don't remember at the moment. It's a recent film. It was set in Hawaii. It was about officers in the Air Force, and one of the officers who was doing missions and being in a very dangerous setting and dropping bombs on certain areas. When he would come home, he would not talk about his work at all. Mm-hmm. And his wife was very perturbed by that, of why you're not allowing yourself to open up. And he said, because I don't want to bring you into that world. And for me, when I come home, I am with you and I am out of that world. So mm-hmm. he created a very specific separation, which allowed him to be a father, to be a loving husband, and not somebody who just, you know, flew a mission over a place that he didn't want to tell about. Okay. So yeah. You can use these types of things, but the basic taking all of that aside, the basic thing that can be done is mutual shared new experiences. So when law enforcement professionals would come home, aside from not talking about work, go do something with your spouse and your family that has nothing to do with work. Go do something that is new and interesting, or at least things that both you and your spouse really enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. And take that and just switch into a different gear. And that will allow you to renew. That will allow you to refresh and replenish. And then you can go back into your work life the next morning.
Now, is it okay, Alan, to come home? Because I know I come home, and I'm in a different role now. I'm not on patrol anymore after many years. I'm in a different role. But is it okay to come home and just kind of, my wife will ask me, how was my day? And I'll tell her, but yeah. I don't linger on it. You know, I don't keep talking right. about it. I don't stick with it for the remainder of the evening.
And that's precisely where I'm going. It's not just okay. I think it's the healthier way to do it. Mm-hmm. And as much as we want the support system to be there at home for us, regardless of what profession we're in, mm-hmm. you know, my wife is in finance. That's all she talks about when she comes home. And I had to stop doing that. I had to say, listen, you know, I get it. You have so many things that you're into, but when you come home, let's switch into a different mode. Otherwise, I just become another work buddy that you talk about work to. Mm-hmm. So you really have to let that go, and you have to switch into something else. And the issue comes in is if we don't know what that something else is, right? Mm-hmm. When we're so much about our work and we're so immersed into it, we really don't know anything else. We mm-hmm. may want to come home, just relax, you know, grab a beer, listen to some music, go to sleep, get some rest, and go back to work. And that's where things really get out of balance. So mm-hmm. it's that mutual different experience that you should have with your spouse or, you know, whoever you're in a relationship with that allows you to continue getting closer together and not bring all of the negativity and other things from work. Now, there is one more aspect that I want to go back to in terms of the, you know, energy of it, is because you're in law enforcement, because you're subjected to so much negativity, not just on the streets, but from people. You know, people feel mm-hmm. different ways about law enforcement officials. You think of it as taking a shower, right? When you're dirty, you take a shower to wash the dirt off. You're accumulating the energy on yourself. So cleaning that energy is very, very important. And that's where, for those who pray, prayer is very important to release that energy. For those who are spiritual, meditation is very important. Mm-hmm. For those who don't believe in any of that nonsense, just take a shower and imagine that all of this dirt yeah. is actually getting off of you. But it's important to kind of really get out of that mode, because a lot of it tends to accumulate. And whether we feel it or not, it's there. So we need to get rid of it.
And there's health risks too, Alan.
Very much,
it affects everything. You know, the, mm-hmm. the negativity and the stress can lead to premature death and a myriad of other health problems.
Yeah, 60 to 90% of all doctor's visits right now in the United States are stress-related. So, one of the reasons why I created my the Seamless Method is to help people get rid of stress. And I did that not because I wanted to have a program. I initially did that because I was stressed out, and I wanted to see what it is that I could do in order not to be that way. And that turned into a program. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, stresses are abound in your profession, and knowing how to deal with them is very, very important.
And I know you mentioned meditation. I've incorporated a meditation practice in my morning ritual, and it's helped me tremendously. And I'm actually, you know, I've actually shared it with some of the people I work with. Look at me, kind of weird, but others, you know, have actually incorporated it, and there are benefits to that. So I really enjoy meditation.
I think meditation, it may seem weird, and for some people they may find that sitting in silence over a certain period of time is very difficult for them mm-hmm. when they're supposed to not focus on anything. Mm-hmm. So the way that I look at meditation is just mindfulness. I look at meditation as now, listening to your favorite music, just closing your eyes and relaxing, playing basketball with the buddies. It's a form of meditation. It's our ability to really silence everything else mm-hmm. that's going on and be inside with ourselves. And whatever it is that you do that gets you to that place, that is your meditation. We can call it whatever we want, but that's really what it is. It's just the ability to mm-hmm. get calm and remove all of the noise that's around us.
So shifting gears again and talking about relationships, mm-hmm. Alan, I mean, why do you think, and this is probably a broad question too, but why do you think a lot of relationships fail? I'm talking about, you know, anything from, you know, business relationships to intimate relationships. Why do you think that they fall apart?
Because I think when we start the relationships, we are focused on what are we getting out of them. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean it for it to be a cynical way, but when we start a business relationships, it's not of what can I do to provide for that client. It's really, well, I need money, and here's a service that I'm offering, and this client mm-hmm. is my best way of making my rent. It's a wrong setting. Unfortunately, same thing happens with relationships. We fall in love with another person because we love the way they look or we love how we feel around them. But it starts really becoming more focused on what is the other person doing for me. And this is not related to sex, that's just an aspect of it. But it's more of we're not focused on what we bring to the relationship for the other person. It's more about what is the relationship bringing to us. Mm-hmm. And that needs to change. It's not an easy aspect to change, but that needs to change in order for relationships to actually be relationships. When you are relating to somebody, that means that you actually understand them. Mm-hmm. The only way for you to understand them is to stop thinking about yourself mm-hmm. and to actually understand the other person and where they're coming from, not so you can use that in a, you know, business setting of how do you take advantage of them,
sure.
but in what can I do to make this person's life better? And when you have that as one of your main questions, every relationship, business, professional, or personal, is going to be a healthier one.
Alan, amazing. What if people want to reach out to you, Alan, and find your book and find you on social media, where can they find you, sir?
I think the easiest way would be going to a website. The website is the name of the book, which is thenewlovetriangle.com. All of the links are there. They can find out about me. There is the links to my social media everywhere. And you can just Google me. They're only speaking of criminal justice and law enforcement, there are only two Alan Weisbergs out in the world. One is a very nice lawyer in L.A., and I'm the other guy.
Okay. Alan, thank you so much, sir, for being on the show. It's truly a pleasure. You provided some great wisdom and insight to a lot of criminal justice professionals out there, and I thank you for taking the time out of your busy day, sir.
And thank you, Patrick. And before I go, let me just say that whatever you know, your listeners are experiencing, God bless you for doing what you're doing. We really, we may not say it enough, but we all really, really, truly thank you.
I appreciate it, Alan. Thank you much, sir.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.